Magic Dick.
Before they do that, why don't you tell them about the night we were in Cologne the other night?
Oh. You tell them.
It's expensive,
Wolf. I'll tell you what, before you tell them,
if I was going to tell them, we'd all be sensitive. We all need translators in jail. Play your song. Come on. Hey. Artists going out to Belgium, Paris, Sweden.
Look at that, honey. Ooh wee, look at that, baby. Mercy me, look at that, honey. Ooh wee, way over yonder by the peach tree. Now I like your peaches. They so mellow and fine.
Yeah,
I'm just crazy about your orchard. Keep me begging.
Look at that.
Hello and welcome to today's edition of Harmonica Riff Raff, number 29 on the 9th of the 11th, here on 3MDR 97.1 FM, Voice of the Dandenongs. And I'm Phil Shepherd, and I thank you for joining us this Saturday for a fair bit of Harmonica Riff Raff. Also like to thank old Josh. Just call before we went on air here. Josh, who did a bit of harp playing with Dutch Tilders. And today is a special program because I have, I will try and get John Hood online shortly, and we'll have a chat to John. He is best known for his work probably with Sid Rumpo, the Sunbury Band, and also the Elks. And I think the Elks did tour with Dutch Tilders in the late 70s, so there's a bit of a connection there. Old Josh, or young Josh, I don't know how old you are, mate, but you're only old as the... No, I better not say that. We opened the set with Loaded, and it was a Western Australian band called Bitch, and that was the precursor for the Elks, and that was live at the San Groper Hotel, unreleased track from 1973. Okay, I'm going to play some more music here. I'm going to play some Sid Rumpo. You've heard this one before, and I'm going to play some of the Elks, and you've heard this track before. And while I do that, I'm going to try and get John Hood online.
No! trust. My baby gone back home someday. Wonder people, I just don't understand.
Said All Aboard by the Elks with John Hood playing G harp, 10 hole diatonic harp in cross position. Ivan Zarr also playing harmonica, playing the chromatic harmonica in C, and that was off their album Refer to Draw, Missing Link, in 1978 and produced by Matt Taylor. And before that, we had 40 Days and 40 Nights. And I'm not sure what we're going, how the levels are going there. Sorry about that. 40 Days and 40 Nights, and that was Sid Rumpo live at the Garrison in 72. And that's a bonus track off a remastered First Offence album by Sid Rumpo. And that's come out this year with Mushroom's 40th anniversary. I've got a guest online here. I'll just give him a little bit of an intro and we'll get running here. Online I have Perth bluesman John Hood, best known as lead guitarist and harmonica player for Sunbury band Sid Rumpo and later the Elks. John started out as a harp player and was one of only a few harp players in the thriving Perth blues scene of the late 60s and early 70s. Not long ago, John released an autobiography entitled For the Love of Music. Welcome to Harmonica Riff Raff, John, and 3MDR.
I lost you there for a while, Phil.
Oh, I'm sorry, mate. You there now?
I'm here now, yeah.
Excellent. welcome to Harmonica Riff Raff. and 3MDR, John.
Thanks very much. Great to be here.
Now, John, could you give the listeners the heads up on how you got into the blues and playing the mouth harp?
Well, can I just mention something before that? You got the wrong harp on All Aboard. It was actually a 12-hole G, similar to the low C that you talked about earlier on.
Yep.
It's a bigger harp. And it's got a sort of a heavier sound than the regular G.
Yep.
But that's just a bit of academia.
Ah, that's good. And Ivan played Chromatic, is that right?
Exactly, absolutely. He was great on that. He was just really good.
Yep.
Yeah.
Great groove. Really good groove.
Yeah, I think it was probably Australia's best authentic blues band.
Yeah.
Because we kept at it, and we tried to get the original feels of the records down, you know, the old standards, all the stuff from Chess.
Yep, yep.
But back to your sort of original question about how I got into the blues, it was by listening to the Rolling Stones, and when I heard them on interviews or read articles, they'd refer to these people that I hadn't really heard of, Jimmy Reed, Howling Wolf, Sonny Boy Williamson, these kind of guys. So I sought them out and found that's the music I really liked. The Rolling Stones, in hindsight, were kind of a little bit weak and untutored, but when you get to the real stuff, that's what I really liked. That's what I got drawn to. And I'm sort of drawn to the whole range of blues, not so much the contemporary stuff, which I kind of regard as blues rock, but even the country blues, I really like that.
Mm-hmm. Charlie McCoy.
Playing, you gone?
Charlie McCoy and people like that?
No, he's more a country player.
Yep.
These were guys, not harmonica players necessarily, people like Johnston,
yep.
Robert Johnston, Son House, Lion Willie McTell, you know, that's a huge area of music that's not really heard that much anymore because you can't get the artists.
Yep.
But there are a lot of artists who recorded over that time, and you've really got to seek them out. And I love that music.
And what about playing the mouth harp? How did you get into that, mate?
Well, that was by hearing the records. When I left school, when I was went to first year uni, and I spent the year, I couldn't play harmonica or guitar. I spent the year learning to play them both. And I didn't pass any units at uni, but at the end of the year, I was good enough to play in a band either as a harmonica player or as a rhythm guitarist. And as it turned out, that's what happened in 1968, the year after I learned. I joined my first band.
And that first band was My Grandfather's or something, was it?
My Grandfather's Blues,
yeah. Yeah.
I started out as a harmonica player because they already had a rhythm guitar player. But he got called up to go to the Army, so I started playing rhythm guitar as well. That's how I got into playing lead guitar by sort of playing rhythm guitar.
Mm-hmm. And My Grandfather Blues had Steve Tallis was singing.
As the vocalist, yeah, and his brother on drums.
Yeah.
It also had Owen Hughes in it from Sid Rumpa.
Yep. And he was the drummer, was he, or the bass player?
He was the bass player. The drummer was Steve's older brother, and the lead guitarist was Peter Walker, who went on to play with Bakery.
Oh, yep, yeah, another Sunbury band.
Another Sunbury band from 1973, yeah.
Yep. And were telling me recently that you also got a book by Tony Glover that was sort of...
I think that was the first harmonica tutor book you could buy.
Yep.
And in a way, it's not very good because he makes a lot of mistakes, but it's a great sort of writing style, and in those days, it was the only thing there was, so that kind of got me started, taught me about cross harp, and first position and third position, and it was just a great way to get started. A great writing style, very, how can I put it, just really sort of humorous, but serious at the same time.
Yep.
He was really into the blues.
And, of course, he played in bands as well, is that right?
Mostly he played with a trio called Kerner Rayan Glover, mm-hmm. which was an acoustic blues outfit that made about four records.
Yep.
He was mostly known for being a writer.
Okay, you talked a little bit about the first band there, and let's get into Sid Rumpo, because I remember hearing them first on the Sunbury 73 album. Well, I had actually had it on cassette, and that's where I first came across Sid Rumpo with Sailing, and just a unique sound. I don't think there was any other band that sounded quite like you guys.
Well, not in Australia.
Pardon? No.
Yeah.
A bit like the Allman Brothers, perhaps?
Well, exactly, because we featured the two guitars playing harmonies.
Yep.
And that's quite a distinctive sound. But we're also playing a lot of blues as well, which is great fun for me. I played about probably every night 8 to 12 harmonica songs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the last time I really played harmonica in a band, seriously. Like in the Elks, I played a few numbers, but it wasn't very much, and the other bands a few, but Sid Rumpo was kind of the best band for my harmonica playing, in that I got a good blow every night.
Also, like Rob Searles, his vocals, and Ken Wallace, the piano player, also, they double-teamed on percussion there at times. And
Ken did, yeah, Rob did. He was also a lead guitar player.
Yep.
And he played slide as well.
Yeah, and his vocals are very, very distinctive.
Yeah, they are, actually. They're really good. I've been listening to them recently on that clip you pointed out to me on YouTube, and they sound very strong.
Yeah.
Very authentic.
Yep. And what I was going to say, too, was can you relive some of those Sunbury days or the experience of Sunbury?
Well, for me, it was pretty slight. We played on Saturday afternoon, which was set up by Michael Gudinski, and it was broadcast live into Melbourne. So we were seen on TV, not that we've ever seen the film. It's probably been erased by now.
That was Channel 9.
We played in the afternoon. The only sort of memorable thing, well, the set was okay, but we lost power during one of the songs.
Mm-hmm.
But they got that back. But at the end of our set, I watched Matt Taylor and Shane, but there were so many drunks there, and it was so dirty that a chick and I decided to go to Rob Searles' farm. His parents had a farm not far, in fact, it was in Sunbury.
Yep.
And we went there and stayed the weekend, and I never saw anything of Sunbury.
Except from the stage.
It was too much for me.
Yeah. A bit much for a lot of people there too, I think. John, I've got a track I'm going to play that's in your book. You've got a CD that goes with the book by a guy called John McKittrick. And this is just exquisite harmonica playing.
Extraordinary.
And I think we might just go straight into the track now, and then we might get you to talk a bit about that track, John, and you know how that influenced your harp playing.
Sure. So
bear with me, mate.
Yeah.
Says, wow, how about that?
Yeah, exactly.
Tell us a bit about that track and John. John?
How long have you got?
Just keep going, mate. We're right.
Okay. I first ran into him when I was playing in the band that grew out of my grandfather's blues, and we were playing an outdoor gig, and he came up to me, and he just arrived from England, and he was probably about 2 years older than me, and he said, he played harmonica, and I could tell he knew a bit about it. So he said, could he come and jam with the band? So I said, yeah. I told him where we were playing. And when he played with us, I'd only been playing for about a year, and my harmonica playing was no great shakes, if that's English. I was pretty basic. But when he played, there were so many things about him that were incredible. For starters, he was really loud. He had an incredible projection. He had incredible tone. And things like he had great ideas and he was very creative. And I never heard anything like it in my life. But lucky, I'm not the kind of guy who, when I hear someone good, goes home and says, I'm not playing anymore. I kind of think of it as he showed me what was able to be done on the harmonica.
Yep.
I think his big influence was Shaky Walter Horton, or Big Walter Horton.
Yep.
In fact, I heard it on that bed, quite a few Big Walter Horton licks. Mm. And I quite like Big Walter Horton as well.
Me too.
After I hadn't heard of him at the time, except for one track. But then I started to hear him. He was on an album called Chicago, The Blues Today, Volume 3. He played harmonica right through that. Yeah. And I sort of took a bit of his style as well. Not that I'm a thief. I just tend to learn a few licks and try and play my own style. But he was one of the guys who influenced me. So John came along. He learnt harmonica from his parents when he was 3. And when the Rolling Stones came out, he went to the shop and said, I want one of those harmonicas that Mick Jagger plays. And they said, right, this is these. And John says, but that's what I've been playing. So he went home. And he quickly worked out how to play what Mick Jagger and Brian Jones yep. were playing. And his interest in the blues went on from there. And he was incredible. Like, that's just one track of a session of about 6 tracks. I've got to be. We did it in a Sid Rumpo rehearsal room one afternoon. We just played 6 totally improvised tunes together. Some blues, some kind of really weird scales that he came up with. We played one of those. But just a fantastic player. Just, I think, the best I've ever heard live. Or at least, if he wasn't the best, he was the best for me. I think his feeling is just so beautiful. I just love the way he played.
And he also fantastic. He also jammed with a couple of bands over in England as well.
Yeah, he jammed with Savoy Brown and Fleetwood Mac.
Mm.
He was going to join Savoy Brown or one of their guitar players who had a band. The first album of them is not well known. It's called the Savoy Brown Blues Band. The album that's really considered their first is called Getting to the Point. But there was an early one that was a different band, and there was a guitarist playing in it called Martin Stone, and he had a band. He was going to get John as a harmonica player, but John moved to Australia with his family, so that didn't come about.
Right.
So he never made it.
And he lives apparently in Melbourne here somewhere.
Yeah, he lives. Is there a place called South Kensington?
Yeah, well, it's a place called Kensington, so I suppose it's south and north.
Near Footscray.
Yep, right.
Yeah, he lives there.
Well,
but he's a very private person.
Yep.
I've only recently connected with him after about 40 years. I hadn't heard from him since about 1973, and his nephew contacted my website and said that he was his nephew. And I said, is he still alive? And he said, yeah, he's living in Victoria.
Mm.
So I connected with his sister, and from there, I talked to John once every two or three weeks. You know, we have a bit of a rave.
Oh, that's great. And it'd be great if you could release those other tracks too, because...
Well, I don't think John wants to. He's very private, and he's a very very sceptical about the internet. But I've been working on him. I'll see how I go.
Okay. Well,
I can get them together, I'll put them up on my website.
Yeah.
That's free downloads.
Don't push them too hard. And we'll talk about your website later and how people can get the book as well. Let's go to the Elks and how they came about. And also, you talked earlier about playing authentic blues, and perhaps tell the 3MDR listeners a little bit what you mean by authentic blues compared to the blues rock.
Sure. Well, two guys in the Elks were Reg and Ivan Zarr. They're twins. One plays harmonica and one plays drums. And I played with them in the early 70s. And about 1976, I'd probably stopped playing blues because there wasn't much around, and I was playing not always original music, but music that I could improvise and create in on the guitar, because I'd moved on from harmonica to guitar mainly. But Reg and Ivan asked me to play at a party, and that's where I met the singer Terry Serio from the Elks.
Yep.
And a month or so later, Ivan rang me up and said, do you want to play in this band? We didn't have a name at the time. And I said, oh, not really, but I'll come down and have a play. And they brought along Dave Brewer. I don't know whether you know him, but...
Another guitar player?
The other guitar player, yeah.
Yep.
He was really young, and he was just so good, and we blended together so well, I thought, this is the best thing I've ever heard. I have to do this. So I put aside my improvisation for 2.5 years and played with the Elks. The bit about the authentic blues, I think we were the only band that really got to the authentic sounds of the old blues players, Jimmy Reed, Howling Wolf, Muddy Waters, Little Walter, like a host of things. Like Reg and Ivan and I had huge record collections.
Yep.
We were really blues freaks. I mean, I was as a listener. I also owned a record shop in Perth, so it allowed me to get in a lot of imported stuff. So what we did was we captured the original feel of the recordings, and a lot of that's not down to me. It was more down to Dave, who just had the ear to pick up anything off a record. He could get those Howling Wolf feels down like you wouldn't believe. So he was kind of the core around which we built the group. And I'm not saying there weren't other good players. I mean, Reg and Ivan were great. Terry was a good singer. And I was an okay guitar player.
Mm.
I wasn't as strong as Dave by any means. I mean, I think he's the best Australian blues player I've ever heard.
Mm.
Very authentic. Hubert Sumlin, Howling Wolf's guitarist, Albert King, B.B. King. He just has it down. He's fantastic.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean by the authentic. You get the original notes that were played on the record in the backing, and then you played your own guitar solos.
Right.
Now, I've never really heard a band do that successfully other than the Elks. I've heard bands play those songs, but they didn't get the original feeling.
Yep.
And that's what we worked on.
And Terry was also, he was pretty well known for, I think he still is, for his acting as well.
Yeah, he was in the musical Keating.
Yep.
Do you remember that one?
Yep, yep.
And he was Bob Hawke and John Howard.
Both.
Yeah.
That's
in fact, I still talk to him too. Yeah, you're right. He still gets... He doesn't get a lot of big roles anymore, but he seems to get enough to keep him going. He's a survivor.
Yeah.
I sometimes see him on advertisements or bit parts in crime shows. He always plays the bad guy.
And I suppose, like, I never saw the Elks live, but I imagine that he would have put on a bit of a show as well with his...
Very much a front man, yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, it got... when we started, the first gig we did was a B.B. King support. Mm. Now, I hadn't played for about 2 years, and I was pretty nervous. But when I got up on stage, and I never heard him talk, because at practice he just sang.
Yep.
And he just had the blurb. He had the knack of just expressing to people. And he was just incredible, a really powerful front man. He could just talk and crack jokes and keep the crowd entertained.
Yeah.
And that was a big part of it. It was a very entertaining band. And also the other thing, it was great to dance to. Blues played well, has a really good backbeat, and it's really good to dance to. So we drew a really good crowd in Perth.
I know that on the record, too, that most of the tracks are probably more up-tempo. There's not really any sort of slow blues tracks on it.
Yeah, that's funny. We had a ruling in the band that we wouldn't play any slow blues because people play them so badly and they're so hard to play. We only ever tried one, What Is That She Got by Marty Waters, but that didn't last long in the repertoire. We really worked hard on the repertoire. We'd learn new songs every week, and we dropped songs off that we didn't like. So we used to practice two or three times a week. We all were full-time. I mean, I had the record shop, so I could work 2 days or 3 days and practice the other two or three, but all the other guys didn't work. So we were sort of... we were able to have the time to do a lot of rehearsal and put a lot of time into it. And it turned out we tended to do numbers that were good to dance to.
Mm.
We picked the eyes out of the old masters.
But you also there were some originals on that album. That's right, isn't it?
Which album are you talking about?
Refer to Draw. Yeah, not the there was an FM one too, the Live to Air that I think was released as a cassette or something as well.
Yeah, there's some of the same tracks on that. Yeah.
Yeah.
There wasn't much original stuff. I can't say I wrote all the originals, but I brought all of them to the rehearsal room.
Mm-hmm.
Because in those days, you didn't write words if you were a guitar player. The singer did that.
Yep.
So I kind of wrote them in the sense that I brought the backings and the feels to the rehearsal room. Then we played them, and the singer would write some words and learn to sing them. I remember when we were rehearsing for the album, I was driving home, and I lived a fair way from the rehearsal room. And on the way home, I conceived of this soul ballad, which was called, eventually it came out as, what was it called? Sitting in the Dark.
Mm-hmm.
And that song referred to Drawer. So I sort of conceived it on the way home. When I got home, I got my guitar and worked out what I'd been thinking and then took it back to rehearsal the next day. And that's quite a powerful song. It's got Joe Camilleri and Wilbur Wilde on it. Joe played the solo.
Yep.
We sent the tapes to Victoria for him to do the solo. So if anyone's got the album, that's the story of that song.
Yep, and I noticed that's on eBay, and you can get that for $111 at the moment.
I've still got one.
I've still got one too. I'm not giving it up.
It's a bit obscure. There are only 1,000 pressed. We got 500, and the other 500 went to Keith Glass, who owned Missing Link Records in Victoria.
Yep.
So there weren't really too many pressed. And it's never made onto CD. The only CDs that the Elks have put out, I put out myself personally, and you can download them for free from my website.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that.
We'll get to that. Well, we're talking to John Hood, former lead guitarist and harmonica player for the band Sid Rumpo and the Elks, among others, and you're listening to Harmonica Riff Raff on 3MDR 97.1 FM. John, I'll just change the pace here a little bit. In 1996, you were diagnosed with bipolar. How do you think that influenced your music and probably life as well? But, yeah, mainly the music.
Well, there are two things about it. I was diagnosed that I'd had it probably since I was about 6 or 7 because I had a very dysfunctional childhood. I wasn't abused, but I got the run around a fair bit and I didn't have a very stable family life. So I can remember being melancholy when I was 6 or 7. So I think I had it then. Now, when I was a youth and in my 20s, I don't think it made a lot of difference to my life because my life was very busy. I had the record shop going. I was playing in the two top bands in Perth. It was quite a life, so it was good fun. I think it only came to the party when I got to 1996. I was living on my own. I wasn't working, and I started realising that I was getting very depressed. But often people who've got bipolar are quite creative, mm-hmm. and I think that's the good thing about bipolar. I wrote a lot of music. I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but I probably wrote over 1,000 pieces of music between the years 1990 and, say, 2010. Now, they're not all fully realised, but I conceived of over 1,000 pieces of music. I've still got them on tape. So when I make albums, I just go back to those tapes and find pieces that I like and build music out of them. They're just small ideas. But I can take them and visualise what they might turn into. So bipolar can make you very creative. And that's why I think I've always been a songwriter. Like in the early days, people didn't write songs, so I didn't write a lot. But when I worked for later bands, I was able to produce quite a bit of material. So in a way, it's had a good side. And it's not so bad now. I take drugs for it, and I never had it too badly. Like, it's a condition where you get high and low, and I still get the lows, but I don't get the highs. But I'm glad about that because when you get high, you're very sort of... Is there such a word as maniacidal? Because that's what you get. You get very manic.
Yeah.
And you talk very fast and you do crazy things. Like people take off their clothes and run around the street. Now, I've never tried that because I mean, I've been high, but never to the point of being desperate. So I can talk about it, but you probably need to ask me a question.
Right. Also, I want to refer to, in your book, you mentioned having an epiphany while sitting on the grass banks of the Woodvale Oval. I wonder if there was a game on at that particular point of time or not, but and you produced an album in 2006 called The Words in Red. Could you elaborate on that, John?
Yeah, sure. My wife is a Christian, and I wasn't. I was very scientific and rational and mathematical. I was good at mathematics, and I was... That was the kind of personality I was, and I couldn't relate to the Bible. When we split up, I came back to Perth. I was living in Victoria at the time, doing work, and I came back to Perth to look after one of my sons while my ex-wife went overseas. And I was sitting on the Woodvale Oval Bank, and no, there was no football game on. I was just kind of chilling out because I was pretty depressed. And I just had this awareness of God. And I think I received what I regard as the gift of faith. And the strange thing was, I thought it would go away, but it's actually never left me.
Yep.
So I've become a Christian. I don't go to church, but I do read the Bible and read other books. And I've still got the gift of faith. And I think that's
important.
Very sustaining. So I resolved to make some albums that were called Something for God. I've made two. One's called Consider the Lilies of the Field, which is a quote from the Bible, and the other one is The Words in Red, whereas in some Bibles the words of Jesus Christ are printed in red.
Yep, yep.
That's where that came from. And it, actually, it's a fabulous album. I really like it.
Mm.
You don't need to be Christian to appreciate it, but it's got a certain quality that I really enjoy. There's some really intense blues playing on it, but there's also some really gentle acoustic pieces.
Mm.
And there's a little bit of harp on it, which was a struggle because I was running out of breath as I was playing it. But I did get it together. So that's about it.
Yeah. Well, you know, my belief is I'm a Christian as well, and I think the instrument itself, the harmonica, is really a soulful instrument, and like it can be played poorly, it can be played really well, but it can be an instrument where you can really express yourself. And yeah, I just think it's such a soulful instrument.
Absolutely. Two things about that. You're right, it is very expressive, especially played in the blues style.
Mm.
I mean, there's so many guys who can play so well that it's just ridiculous. But the other thing is it can also be played very badly. I've got a friend who says the harmonica is the only instrument they let you record when you don't know how to play it. And that's so true. Having worked in the record shop, I've heard so many bad harmonica players, not blues players, but rock players.
Yep.
They've just got no idea.
And it's funny, the more I'm sort of been in this role and in this program and the material that I've gotten and look at, and the amount of people I wasn't aware that they ever played the harmonica, but there are tracks out there that they've played harmonica on. I didn't know John English played harmonica until recently.
No, I wouldn't have known it, no.
And Billy...
Yeah, there's guys like Neil Young, and he's pretty good in his style, and Dylan, of course, but they don't play blues harmonica, they play what they call straight harmonica, first position.
Yep.
Yeah.
Look, John, we could talk forever here. I'd like people to visit your website, and also there's a lot more in your book, and I'd just like to ask the listeners to go onto your website. Now, if I get any of this wrong, you can tell me.
You want me to tell them?
You tell them. Why don't you tell them, John?
Well, the easiest way is to search for John Hood online.
Yep.
And if I could just add that all the records I've made, and also six recordings by live bands, I've got available as MP3 downloads. So there's quite a lot of music up there that you can get for free if you're interested.
Yep, I'm sure my listeners...
So search for John Hood online.
Excellent. And the book?
What's for the Love of Music. I sold quite a few in Perth and a few in the eastern states. It's the story of my attempt to be creative as a musician, but it also is the story of my life. It's my childhood, playing in bands. I mentioned all the bands. I mean, Sid Rubbo get two chapters, the Alts get a chapter. It's a book about music, but the underlying theme is trying to get expression out of music and to create in music.
And it comes with a great CD with it as well.
Yeah, it's sort of a history of my playing. Like the first track is a harmonica track, which is not really great, but I just put it on there for the sort of the history of it. It was recorded in 1969, so it was in the days when I wasn't a strong harmonica player, but it's still great to have on there.
And they can buy the book through just going to your website?
Yeah, it's on the website, yeah. Free postage in Australia.
Yeah, wow. Excellent. I've read it. It's a great book. John, I really appreciate the time.
No worries, I love it.
Oh, look, it's just fantastic to have you on Harmonica Riff Raff, and I know we've had a few chats in the last sort of 3 weeks, and it's just like talking to someone I've known all my life, so really appreciate...
thanks a lot.
I really appreciate what you've... You know, your music career and what you've done, and as I say, Sid Rumpo, I remember the Sunbury... cassette tape that I had, it was always the Sunbury, the Sailing song by Sid Rumpo, and there was a song by Blackfeather. I'm going to something or other.
Pop on the Blues?
No, it was a long track, and it probably had the guys with the beer cans in the background, you know, banging them together. I'm going to Love You, Miss You, Love You, or something like that. Went for about 9 minutes or something, but they were the two tracks that I always got airplay in my car.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. All right, John, I'm going to go out with a couple of tracks here. You'll know them well. We've got Sailing by Sid Rumpo Lott, and that is no harmonica on this, but why not? We can do it. It's just a great track.
Give him Rice.
And I've got Mr. Burnett. Tell us a bit about Mr. Burnett.
Well, Chester Burnett was Howling Wolf. So it's sort of like a tribute to Howling Wolf. And the weird thing is that it's an overdub recording. I played the guitar. I mean, it's improvised, totally. I played the guitar part first. I mean, it's got a theme, but then I just go off and start playing guitar. And then I went back a second time and put harmonica over it. And the way the harmonica and the guitar fit together is just fantastic. I love it. It's kind of very intimate.
Yep, I love it too.
It's not virtuosic, but it's great.
Yeah. I'll play Rice some stage on this program.
Yeah, no worries.
But I'm going to play Mr. Burnett. I've got it all keyed up, ready to go. John,
beautiful.
Thanks again from Harmonica Riff Raff and 3MDR listeners.
No worries. I'll talk to you again soon.
Cheers, mate. Bye.
Okay, bye.
This is John Hood of Sid Rumpo and the Elks. You're listening to Harmonica Riff Raff with Phil Shepherd on 3MDR, 97.1 FM, Voice of the Dandenongs.
Well, there you go. Does that bring back some memories for people? The Great Australian Rock Festival from Sunbury in 1973. That was Sid Rumpo with Sailing. And the track I was trying to think before, the Black Feather track, was I'm Gonna Love You, if anyone remembers that. And before that we had Mr. Burnett, a Howlin' Wolf tribute by John Hood, who played guitar and harmonica. And that's from his album called Blues. It was independently released on 2002. And you can get that on his website if you go to all the W's. jhredguitar.com will get you there, or just go John Hood and it'll come up John Hood online, and he's got lots of stuff there. And of course I thoroughly recommend his book, and it also comes out with a CD of some of his work, and it's well worth getting. Someone's knocking. I don't know where that's coming from. There's a bit of activity outside, but that was interesting. Maybe someone's at the door.